Wake up, everybody. It's time for the best new podcast with the best new country artists in the world. It's time for Up and Country. I'm your host, Ike Everard, and join me for the next half an hour as I take you on a journey with one of my favorite new country artists.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into episode 2 of Up and Country. I'm Ike Everard, and today's guest is Paxton P, and his guitarist, Drew Henry. Now, Paxton and Drew got a little bit of a rivalry going on. Paxton from Starkville, Mississippi, and Drew goes to Ole Miss in Oxford. So a little bit of bad blood there we'll touch on throughout the episode, a slight rivalry. But together they make awesome music. Paxton's got this really, really cool, almost Texas country sound coming from Mississippi. He does a great job. He's got one song out on Spotify right now called Buzz Like You, almost 100,000 plays. You know, he'll get into it. He was surprised when it blew up, but it did. And so he really is one of the best up-and-coming artists. You know, when you can put out one song and have that kind of reach, it's pretty impressive. So he'll tell you what's next for his future, what was in his past, and then learn a little bit about Drew as well. So let's not wait around. Let's get into the conversation between me, Paxton P, and guitarist Drew Taylor. So how you guys doing?
Good, man.
I'm surviving.
Yeah. That's all you can do right about now. Paxton, yeah, I saw you rocking the socks and Crocs on Instagram.
Dude, always.
Quite the look.
That's how he shows up to every show, man. It's socks and Crocs.
Drew, you approve of it?
I'll allow it for right now, but
that might be a talking point once y'all get big.
Yeah.
So what you been doing to pass the time?
Trying to keep myself busy. Really not just a whole lot going on, but trying to keep in the music swing of things, but also do a little work on the side to have some kind of income right now.
Sure, yeah, you gotta have that. Have you guys been writing anything?
A little bit. I will say that's one benefit from not being gone every weekend is actually being able to sit down and spend a little more time behind the scenes, I guess, if you would call it.
Sure, no, totally. You guys are big sports guys, too. I saw Paxton's got a lot of Mississippi State stuff on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got an Ole Miss, so we're kind of enemies in that way.
Oh, yeah. How does that go down?
I mean, at the end of the day, I know I'm a winner.
I don't know about that.
You guys watch the Egg Bowl every year?
Every year, man.
Every year, yeah.
Maybe Ole Miss gets a win and Paxton's got to stop with the socks and Crocs.
Yeah, I mean, that can be a bet for later on down the road.
As confident as I am, I might take that bet.
I want to see it now. So you guys,
we might do that.
Let's do it. You guys have one song out on Spotify. That's pretty exciting. And it's doing pretty well. What's it been like to have that kind of streaming success so far?
Man, when I went in to record this song, a guy that used to play with us, Blake Carroll, he's from Vicksburg, and I had just met him, and I kind of played it for him one time, just, I guess I'd say, goofing around. We were sitting on my back porch just kind of hanging out, and he was like, dude, that's a good song. Like, who sings that? I was like, I wrote it. And then he persuaded me to go to a studio, which I had never been before. Was really out of my comfort zone at first, but Nick, the owner of Dippin' Vap Studio, man, he made me feel right at home. And we got in there and started going with this thing, and it literally came to life. And, you know, when we got done, I never expected it to reach maybe over 1,000 or 2,000 people. And to watch it grow every day is mind-blowing.
Yeah, I mean, that's super cool. And that was your first time in a studio.
Yeah, that was my first time 100% ever stepping foot in a studio.
Wow, and you just banged that out. And, yeah, it's now almost 100,000 plays on Spotify.
Yes, we are getting close.
That's super exciting. So how'd you two meet?
Oh,
take this one.
It's a long story. So It was back in October. And the guy that you mentioned earlier, Blake Carroll, I got a text from a random number. I was sitting on the couch studying, I think, or probably procrastinating studying. But he texts me. He's like, "Hey, man, this is Blake Carroll. I got your number from somebody else, and I was going to see if you wanted to come play or practice with us or whatever." And I'm like, "Well, I'm broke, so this is income. I guess I can do it, whatever." Then he sends me over the single. I'm like, "Goodness gracious, this guy's good. This guy's got it." Like, and I'm not a country guitarist per se, I guess. I mean, I've kind of adapted it, but he texts me the next day after the night before. He was like, "Hey, we got a show Thursday. Mind you, this was Tuesday." And I'm like, God, I don't know, man. It was like 2 hours away in Starkville. I was in Oxford. He's like, "Come on, man." Like, I'm like, okay, I'll play it, whatever. So I kind of chopped through this set list. I think it was like a hour and a half set, I think. Paxton, correct me or whatever.
It was like 2 hours, something like that.
Yeah. I'm like, "Whatever, man, finals week's coming up, it's all right, I can learn, you know, 30 songs, no problem."
That's the real final right there.
Yeah. And first time I met him was an hour before the show, and I'm like, "Well, I hope I don't screw this up. Nice to meet you, Paxton, you know." And we got up there, and you know, everything went well, kind of well, I guess. enough for him to keep me around, I guess.
I guess so.
And,
so,
you know, 6 months later.
So,
still around.
Well, that's pretty impressive. He convinced you to drive 2 hours into enemy territory to play a show on 2 days' notice.
Yeah,
I made it known that he was from Oxford, also.
You did know that.
I've gotten a couple boos at shows in Starkville. It's pretty fun. It doesn't kill my spirit.
You wear the Ole Miss gear there?
I want to say I wore a maroon shirt that night, so I was kind of playing to the crowd.
I mean, that's fair enough. Sometimes you got to do that.
You got to. Got to make a good first impression.
Yeah, so take me through both of you. How you started playing music. You know, I'm always curious to hear about what goes on and what gets someone into being a musical artist.
Paxton, you'll go first for me.
Yeah, I'll be honest. Growing up, my grandfather was big into music. He was a songwriter, and he played your real old classic style country music. And I can remember sitting around and watching him play guitar as a kid, and always something that I was interested in, and I could never really put my mind to it. And then fast forward down the road, my sophomore year of college, sports were out of the question for me at this point, which was really like my whole childhood.
Sure, most of us get there.
I bought a guitar, man, and I sat down and I was just learning chords. I was learning your basic four chords of country music, and I learned how to play Talladega by Eric Church, and when I figured out that four chords can play a song, I was like, "I'm hooked." And I was addicted to it from that point on, and just slowly started progressing, and then I got to where I am now. Man, I'm thankful for it.
So at what point did you write Buzz Like You?
I was 2 years ago, December the 14th.
Wow, you got the date. I like it.
I've been at a party with some of my friends down in Jackson. It was a two-hour ride home. And I had already kind of had the first verse of the song written in my notes in my phone, and I get tired of listening to the radio all the time, so I pull up my notes and started just kind of humming along to it, and I got a beat going, and got home, man, I wrote that song in 5 minutes.
Wow, that's, yeah.
Like it was one of those that it just came to you.
Those are the best ones.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and then Drew, what about you?
It's kind of the same thing. I grew up, my dad used to listen to, he's kind of older, so he grew up in like that whole Pink Floyd, Zeppelin era of rock, like that golden era. And like, I think the first time I started playing Guitar Hero when I was like 8, 9 years old, I was like, but yeah, I think this is for me. And then I think I started playing in church because we got a new youth minister or something, and he played guitar, and he had an extra one. He was like, hey, I need somebody to play in the worship band, and so here's the guitar. Take this home and learn. I'm like, okay, I guess. If I'm this good at Guitar Hero, I mean, I got to be good at something. But I started playing, and I started learning on acoustic, like Paxton, and it took me about a year. I was just, you know, picking through chords and all that and stuff, and then I think I asked for electric for Christmas when I was like 16, and I just took it and ran with it from there. I started like when I was 18, I went to a community college that had this program called Campus Country, and it was like, it's like an ensemble thing. It's really unique. Paxton knows a little bit about it, but it's pretty much just like a band at a community college that's been around since the 70s or 80s, mid 80s, I think. And we practice every day from 2 to 4, Monday through Thursday. And I just kind of got better from there. And then I started playing with local bands around like Tupelo, Mississippi and stuff. And like one thing led to another, and I met Paxton. It's pretty much how it went.
Yeah, I like the Guitar Hero, man. That's the modern journey to becoming a musician, pretty much. So, Drew, you're still in school, right?
Yeah, and then, I go to Ole Miss. Got a year left.
And Paxton, are you out of school now, or?
Man, that's another part to add on to my story. I was in community college, and I could never really figure out what I wanted to do. And I changed my major from kinesiology. I wanted to be a coach at one point. Then I changed to business, which I had no idea why, but I thought it was good at the time. I changed back the last time to ag science, to be an ag consultant, which I thought I wanted to be. And really, I left school one day, and I was like, this is not for me, so I called my mom. I'm leaving school, headed home, and she picks up the phone, and I said, hey, I don't think I'm going to go back to school. She was like, well, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to play music. And she said, okay, we'll get a job. And that's how it started. You know, I figured she would be a whole lot more mad about it than she was.
Sure, yeah, I don't know if that's really the words your mom wants to hear, but...
Yeah, I didn't have enough guts to do that. That's why I'm still in school.
Yeah, I expected a more of a mom reaction than I got out of it, but she's been supportive. Actually, my parents have really supported me through all of it. I mean, you know, they don't want their kid to just up and quit school, but I think she saw that it was something I'm truly passionate about doing, so she was there to back me up on it.
Right, well, I mean, that's really great that they were there for you, because could have gone a whole different way, which would not have been so
absolutely
good. So let's talk about your sound a bit, because Buzz Like You, I feel like it kind of has a Texas country sound a little bit, but you guys are from Mississippi. It's kind of interesting to me.
Yeah, that happened unintentionally. I'll let you behind the scenes a little bit. I didn't even play on that record. Like, that wasn't me. That was Nick, the producer, and the guy who runs Dippin' Bat. But when I heard it, that's what drew me in, was that Texas country sound, because, like, past year or so, I've been listening to a lot of, like, Mike and the Moonpies, Shooter Jennings, Sturgill,
yep,
Tyler, all those guys. And it's kind of had that kind of feel, but with, like, a new country, like, taste to it. It was like kind of the perfect combination. That was definitely part of my what drew me in to Paxton playing with him.
So Paxton, is that something you're going to try to continue, or you think you're going to move more towards that Nashville kind of groove?
Man, my thing, I want to try to bring in a style of country that represents me and who I am, like how I grew up, and my influencers, you know, most people will say, you know, they were influenced by Merle Haggard and Conway, and I mean, people like that they were great, and I listened to them. But as a kid, I remember growing up, riding to school with my mom, and we were listening to Brooks and Dunn and Jason Aldean and George Strait, and just I was really in a mixture at the time, and I feel like that's where a lot of my sound comes from, is just from what I grew up listening to. And I went in the studio that day, and I kind of had a vision of what I wanted the song to be like. And we kind of had a rough demo that we had did of it, and I went in there with Nick, and man, he blew me away. He knew exactly what I was wanting to do with it, and we came out with that, man. And if I could keep it along the lines of that, kind of with the red dirt kind of feel to it, but more of a modern style sound to it, that's kind of what I'm shooting for.
Sure, I mean, that's a great thing to hit. I love that you said Jason Aldean. I love that we're at a point now where up-and-comers are, you know, you grew up listening to Jason Aldean. That's such a cool thing.
Man, if you see a show of us, you would see what I'm talking about when I say he influenced me. I'm not the guy that's going to stand there with a guitar and stand in front of a microphone. I'm all over the place. I like to get in contact with the crowd as much as I can, because I feel like that's what draws people into you. Is the more you can involve people with what you're doing, I feel like they have a better connection with you and like an understanding of what you're doing.
Totally. I mean, that builds a great show. So with that said, if you were to like pull up your Spotify or whatever right now, what would pop up? What were you listening to?
Oh, man. Luke Holmes, Morgan Wallen, Tyler Childers, it would be anything. I listen to such a variety of music, and not just country music. I mean, I listen to older rock stuff, man. I listen to rap. It really depends on the mood I'm in. Like, sometimes before a show, we'll be sitting in the back. I remember we were at Rick's in the green room, and we were all jamming to Post Malone.
Yeah, there's a big variety of influences throughout our band. it's kind of crazy. Like our drummer Cody, like you'll hear him playing like blast beats and stuff, playing My Kind of Party by Jason Aldean and stuff. It like he's primarily like a metal drummer, like pop punk and stuff, but he's kind of just adapted his style to the country and new country and stuff. And then Jacob, our pedal steel player, as you can probably guess, he's all about old country. Like, that's all he listens to. He plays
right, you kind of got to be a steel player, right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's cool, because that's all those combinations coming together is what makes music really stand out, I think. So that's exciting to hear. What you got coming up next? Because that one song came out.
We are working on some stuff right now. We've got a lot of songs that we're trying to kind of work in. A new one that I wrote called Grandpa Song. I wrote it about my grandfather passing away from cancer. I wrote it about 4 years ago, and really sat down probably a year ago and kind of laid something with it. And we recorded a little demo of it, and we're getting ready to get things going. It's just a matter of getting everybody together and kind of getting out of quarantine so we can get on the ball and get rolling with things.
Right, sure. I mean, that's stopping a lot of stuff up right now. Riley Green kind of beat you to the punch with that grandpa stuff, though.
Yeah, man, that's me every time. Like, you know, that sounds like I wish grandpa had never died. I'm like, well, really and truly, I wrote this song 3 years before Riley
I believe
Green.
It.
But, props to Riley, man. I mean, he wrote a great song, and
he did.
And I would say mine's more on a personal level, kind of how I felt about everything when it happened, and it's more of a personal song. Like I said, just something I was feeling, and I wanted to share it with people.
Sure, yeah, I'm excited for that. Is that the next one that's gonna come out?
Yes, it's in the works. It's just a matter of completing and getting it out there. We've got other stuff we're working on. Not going to release any key details, but we were working on cutting a song from a songwriter out of Nashville.
Okay, that's exciting
and
too.
We were very fortunate to get a hold of these songs and to I guess be trusted with making something happen with it.
Yeah, man. Without giving away the name or anything, how did you come in contact with them, and how did you get those songs?
This lady, her name's Elizabeth. She's actually from close to where we live. She hit me up and she said she had liked what she saw on Instagram, and she works in Nashville with a label company. And she was like, "I'm going to be in Starkville for a wedding next week. You know, would you want to have a drink and kind of talk about what's going on and what your future is looking like?" And I said, "Absolutely." And she's been so helpful with trying to get me in contact with the right people and the right music that fits my style, and connecting me with songwriters. We're, like I said, we're really waiting for quarantine to get over so I can get up to Nashville and kind of get to work on some stuff.
Yeah, is there any kind of label discussions happening right now?
I would say right now we're kind of on hold. But in the end, man, that's the major goal, is to score a major record deal. That's what I feel like every musician's goal is. And I would like to stay independent as long as possible until I would say the right thing came along, which never know. I mean, it's just my thing is I want to be people that I trust and that I feel like it's going to turn me in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, you got to have that relationship and that trust built. Because you see a lot of now, I think a lot of times label relationships go bad. And it really,
yeah,
independence becoming, yeah. Is there thought to just, even if you got an offer, just staying independent?
I would just have to see what my options were. I mean, my thing is I don't want to change who I am to be something that somebody wants me to be. I want to bring this kind of brand of music out and kind of tell my story through songs that I enjoy doing and through my style of music, and that's what we play best, I think, is we're all kind of comfortable with it, and all the guys they do an excellent job of picking up and learning this stuff, because like Drew said, all of them they're from different styles of music. Our bass player, Sean, he can play anything, but I think he's more of kind of an indie-type guy. But when we called on him to play country music, he learned how to do it. And Jacob has been great. Cody came in and killed it when we needed a drummer. And Drew's all right. I mean, he's...
Oh, no.
No, they're all good.
Yeah, I mean, wearing the wrong colors, but...
Yeah, we can see past that.
Yeah, man, that kind of reminds me of that Ashley McBride song, Never Will. I don't know if you've heard that, about not selling out and not changing.
Yeah, she was actually in Oxford, like, right before the quarantine started. She was at the Lyric here back in March, I think.
Did y'all go to it?
We were playing, actually.
Okay.
We had a gig or something. I was going to go to it because... I've played with female singers and stuff. We've been covering her songs. I love her. She's good.
Yeah.
She's definitely good talent to bring into Nashville.
For sure, for sure. So, you mentioned playing sports growing up. I mean, I played baseball my whole childhood until I couldn't anymore. So, what did you play?
Man, I was diehard baseball, man. From the time that I could start playing T-ball, I fell in love with it, and I realized throughout high school that at some point, you know, I knew that I was probably not going to be a college athlete.
Yeah.
That was something hard for me to let go. That's why the first thing I started doing when I got to school, I was like, I'm going to be a coach, and I coached a travel ball team for 2 years here in Starkville. We traveled all over Mississippi playing tournaments, and I held on to it a little bit like that. And as music started kind of rolling in, I had to let go. But I think it was something that was kind of a bittersweet moment because I was able to replace it with something else that I was just as passionate about, if not more.
Right. I mean, music's such a good outlet for all that competitive and, I don't know, just that drive and energy that you have from sports. You ever write a song about letting go of it?
I have not, but that actually would not be a bad idea now that you say something about it.
I think it'd be kind of cool. I'm trying to think. I don't think I've ever heard a song about letting go of baseball, but it could be real cool.
That's something that everybody would be able to touch on, too.
100%. You know, put down the glove, pick up the guitar.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you songwriting credits on that one.
There we go. So, I mean, yeah, before we go here, just, man, I love you guys' music. I think it's really cool, and I wish you guys the best.
Appreciate it, man.
We appreciate it. Like I said, keep an eye out. We're trying to get some stuff taken care of and get back out on the road, but our goal right now is to get more music out and see if we can't get another reaction like Buzz like you've gotten.
So there you have it, Paxton P and Drew Taylor, man. What a dynamic duo coming from across the great state of Mississippi. And, man, it really still blows my mind, but it's really cool that, you know, up-and-coming country artists grew up on Jason Aldean. You know, guys like that who are still huge and, honestly, you could collaborate with still, which would be so cool to see them put out a song with Aldean someday. Certainly on the right path. You know, you heard him talk about maybe getting signed to a label kind of soon, some good stuff in the works in terms of their future, and that new song coming out at some point about Paxton's grandpa should be pretty exciting. Maybe a little bit of a change of pace from Buzz Like You, but still, you know, along the lines of a sadder song. So excited to see what the future holds for Paxton P and his band, and excited to see what the future holds here for this podcast. You know, episode 2 in the books now, got some more exciting ones coming up in the following week, so make sure you stay tuned. Make sure you check in again every week here at Up in Country. I'm Ike Everard. See you next time.
For more, make sure to check out Up in Country on Twitter and follow @Blaze_Country. New episodes coming every week, so make sure to keep that base.